Sean Chin to Ron Duffacy and Mike Fraser.
Sky Sports Radio now presents Racing HQ, setting up your racing day with race news, interviews, track reports, previews and tab markets.
Ron Duffacy is sitting down and here we are. This is Racing HQ for a Saturday and we can't wait to it all unfold. Day one of the championships. The track is a heavy eight, penetrometer 6.07. Only 0.6 of a millimetre of rain has fallen overnight. And from our vantage point here at Randwick, the sun will come through in the next half an hour and there's not a cloud in the sky. It's an unbelievable start to the day and Ron Duffacy is here. Ron, we've been monitoring the weather all week, particularly after the rain that we had Wednesday, Thursday, but we've had a strong wind day yesterday and it's going to be a really good start today.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Andrew. It's championship day one. Obviously we're working with a wet track, but it's going to be an improving wet track and the best one we've had for quite a number of weeks, if not a month. So can't wait. The deepest Doncaster mile I've seen in a long, long time. You can go all the way down to the bottom there and make little cases for a number of runners. So an intriguing little race. Hopefully we can find some value in the meeting and get out of there winning.
Mike Fraser, he was out here yesterday to walk the track. He does like walking here at Randwick. Morning to you, Mike.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Ronnie. Yeah, talk about deep fields today. I've never seen better fields for this day one of this championship meeting, and Ronnie said we should get a bit of value. There's no doubt about that. There's some really good roughies going around today, and really looking forward to the meeting.
Now, I repeat that we've had 0.6 of a millimetre only overnight, so it's hardly wet the ground, but you walked it yesterday around 10 o'clock. Give us your feelings there.
Yeah, look, I was pleasantly surprised yesterday. I think officially it was a heavy 9 when I went onto the track around 10 o'clock. I thought it was probably maybe the better side of an 8. It had a great cover of grass on it. The one thing that I have noticed about Randwick in recent times, the profile of this track has definitely changed. The inside was nowhere near as inferior as it normally is when the rail's normal. It was just marginal. Normally it used to be you had to be 7, 8, 9 horses away from the rail on the straight. That won't happen today. They may get away a little bit in the straight, but certainly not like in recent times. And on the fence from around the 700 of the home turn, that's quite fine there too. It's probably, maybe only a 6. So I was really pleasantly surprised. As far as the outside rail advantage that Frolic had a couple of weeks ago, well, you can kiss that train goodbye because they galloped some 40-odd horses on the course proper on Tuesday when they let them, because the Kensington track is closed. And they really did cut into that track on the outside rail. So there's a lot of potholes out there. And I think sensibly they didn't really fill the divots in much, so they've basically said to the jockeys, don't bother going out there because the ground's not all that good anymore, and that's quite right. So we should get pretty much normal racing all day, as I say, just slightly away from the fence in the straight, but I'm cock-a-hoop about the track today.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, good news, isn't it? And I can understand them not sort of treating that outside section of the track. That's a big naughty boys. We won't be doing that again.
Well, no, look, it was the way that the rain had fallen at that time too. And thankfully we've had, nearly going to be 2 days of nothing.
Yep.
So that's the main thing. But a heavy eight is official rating this morning. And the Penno yesterday was 6.17. This morning it's 6.07. Disappointing luck. Charlie Appleby's had no luck at all. He had it all back in the spring, but the autumn has been disaster. They tragically lost the gold trial last week at Mornington. And Mark Van Gestel informing us about 20 minutes ago, polarisation has significant heat and swelling in his offside hock this morning and is not suitable to race. He'll be scratched, unfortunately. So, just really bad luck. They've got the other horse, Pinglay Pavilion, in next week's Sydney Cup, but they need things to turn around.
Yeah, they need the cotton wool to come out, that's for sure, because it's a funny area, the hock. Maybe he's been cast in the box or something overnight. Hopefully it's nothing too serious. A long way to come.
Long way to come, and they may now not make the cup simply because of where the horse is in the order of entry.
Their other horse should make it, though, Pinglay.
Yeah, it will. The other one, guys, just before our first interview with Pat Webster, came through last night. Aaron Bullock can't ride the weight of Nick's Vendetta in the New Haven Park Country Championship, so Craig Williams gets the ride on Nick's Vendetta. That's race 4, number 10. So disappointing for Aaron, but they don't lose anything with C. Williams.
Yeah, not without hope either. It's, it likes it wet and it puts itself into a position in a race as well.
Well, both of you have summarised it this morning, just how thick a form the Doncaster Mile is. There's stacks of horses, as it should be this race, and one of those is Happy Clapper. Pat Webster is online. Pat, good morning to you, mate.
Good morning.
You must be thrilled with just the way the horse is racing at the moment.
Yeah, no, he's in good form. He's in a good place, and very happy with him.
Pat, he seems to be in that. I don't hate to say it, but the autumn form from last year, where he ran second in this race, he ran third in the Queen Elizabeth. That's the form he seems to be in, looking at his two starts.
Yeah, Ronnie, like, he had a setback before the Epsom. I have to say it was a really, really, could have been a life-threatening one, and for him still to come out and run fourth in Epsom, people don't realise how good it was. So, and then he had a decent spell, and he seems to come back, and I think the blinkers have made a big difference to him.
Has the blinkers only been on the two runs this preparation?
Yes, yeah, that's all. And Bratton came in one day and just said, he hits this flat spot, but he didn't seem too worried about it. And he was running, when they're running fourth in an Epsom, you don't want to be changing the gear too much because, they're always good runs. But when he went to Melbourne, and they weren't bad runs. Like, he ran six in the Fox Plate, and Emirates was a fire track that day. But I thought, this is the time to change it. So we trialled him once in them, and then put him on in the National Sprint, and he ran great. So, and then we put him on in the Newmarket, and he ran great. So they're on.
You mentioned the flat spot, but just watching his races, Pat, he seems to be just really in the zone with the blinkers, if you know what I mean. Like, he just seems to be in a really good spot, that he's just a proper racehorse.
Yeah, no, look, he's all, it's a concentration thing. I used to have a nose roll on him, and it sounds a bit corny, but one day at Randwick when he won, I actually done one of the papers, done a close-up shot, and you could sort of see him looking out on his new side, looking out at the other horse, and I thought, this horse is just winning when he just enough, but he wasn't looking out to sort of get beat. And I thought, oh well, that's a good sign. He's competitive and whatever. But you know, there comes a time when you've got to change things and you've got to find that that extra length. And that's why I put him on. And he is those, and Blake Shin had him race a lot closer to the lead. So I'd say that there's always a lot of speed on, so I'd say he'd be a little bit closer than what he normally is in miles at Randwick today.
Yeah, that was the next question. Was that a fluke that he just landed in the box seat the other day, or was it by design?
By design. It wasn't my design. I went in and said to the stewards before the race, I said, with the blinkers and Blake, I said, I just give Blake his own, to ride where he wants to be, same as today. I've left it up to him, and what happens will happen, and that was his design to, put him there. That was a good design, by the way, Ronnie.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he went right through the line, didn't he? The wet track, he's got a little bit of soft form, but if it stays in the heavy range, obviously that's a little bit of a concern.
We ran him once on a heavy track, and then Blake rode him, and it was the first up, he was pretty fat, and Blake rode him, and we turned him out the next day.
Okay, so it's not all lost.
No. But, he'd come in, and he's a bit older now, and I'm going with positive. I had a look at the track yesterday, and there was a fair bit of wind, and it was pretty good, so... Not good, but it seemed to be drying out a bit. So anyway, we get this way. There's always hurdles popping up in front of you, leading into the race. And now there's another one on race day, but it's out of your control. So he's fit and he's well, and we're looking forward to having a day at the races today.
Beautiful.
Good on you. No, fantastic. Good on you, Pat. We'll see you here later in the day, mate.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Good on you. Pat Webster joining us there with Happy Clapper. Ron, it's not normal the case that we allow someone to come back on after he's already been on. There's only one person in the world that can do that.
Who's that?
Me. But Brett Devine has already been on this morning, but he's demanded more time.
Something's on.
Yeah, something's going on from the Australian Turf Club. Brett, what's going on, please?
Good morning, Andrew, again. Good morning to Ronnie and all the punters. Look, I just want to do 100% confirm, but we do have some breaking news for you and some extra exciting news for today. And we did say we've got an international superstar in Ronan Keating. We've got a second one. Her name's Winx. Winx will appear again at Royal Randwick today after race one. I'm sure you may talk to Chris Waller a little bit later about her preparation, but a special exhibition gallop after race one today with the Mighty Mare, the world's best horse on turf, and how appropriate she's here for the opening day of the championships as she prepares to run next week in the Longines Queen Elizabeth. So, breaking news for you, Andrew, but after race one, everybody out at Royal Randwick, make sure you get a posse at the front of the grandstand to see her in action over 1,000 metres with Huey Bowman in the saddle.
Oh, that's fantastic. I thought you were coming on to report that after the preview this morning, China Doll were bringing down some yum cha or something. But anyway, that's...
Well, China Doll wouldn't be able to cater for you at all, Duff. They're a great restaurant, but, gee, you really can get through some on a day, can't you?
Yeah, he's a regular at China. Don't worry about that. And we should mention that just briefly before we move on here. Is
Sydney.
Yeah, the Little Sydney's back again.
Yeah, Little Sydney, what a fantastic... precinct that is as well, overlooking the Theatre of the Horse to see all the horses. Look, three of Sydney's great restaurants, and go to the atc.com.au. You've mentioned China Doll there as well, but go to the atc.com.au for next week. You won't be able to get in there today. It's pretty well packed out, but next week, a few little spots left, so go to the website. And look, what a day of racing we've got ahead of us, and just when you thought it couldn't get any bigger, it just did, Andrew, with Winx.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, mate, we'll see you out here later in the morning.
Thanks for the extra time, and good luck to all the punters, Andrew.
Thanks a lot, Brett. Brett Devine, media manager here for the Australian Turf Club. So the race is all day. Winx gallops after race one, and it finishes with Ronan Keating after the last. So if you're looking for somewhere to do today...
You're excited.
I am excited today.
He's pumped.
Horses, you revved up,
there's horses everywhere, and Ronan Keating at 6.
I can't wait to see you dancing out there.
I love Ronan. Mike, are you a Ronan Keating fan?
Very much so. I think he's got an excellent voice. Excellent voice.
No, he has. Now, Matt Dunn's online. Just before we go to Matt, a couple of extra earlies. It's all happening in the PJ Bell Race 5. So in Race 5, you can now scratch 1 Scarlet Rain, 2 French Fern, 4 Miss Rock, 5 Brugal Reward, and then the emergencies, 19 Rosa Carolina and 21 Blowing Kisses. 1, 2, 4, 5, 19 and 21 are out of the PJ Bell. Matt Dunn, I reckon he's a relieved man that he's got out of Moolimbah. I presume he has.
I don't know about relieved. I'm worried about it.
The stable's back there, yeah. Matt, good morning to you, mate. Where are you in Sydney?
I'm actually about to jump on a flight and come back down. I flew down on Thursday and then came back.
Okay, so tell us, the amount of rain that has fallen in that region is unbelievable. Are your stables flooded or are you okay?
No, we had a small amount of water come into the stable. It's certainly not part of the river or a flowing creek or anything, but some water did come up and wet the boxes and went through the house and all that sort of stuff. You know, it's incredible how much water actually turned up there. We're used to having floods, but not in the stables and certainly not in the house. But it's all under control now. The water goes down pretty quickly and the staff are there to sort things out and get back on track by Monday.
Yeah, pretty tough time for everyone up there. What about the racetrack? I saw pictures of the racetrack yesterday where the water was above the winning post.
Yeah, no, I mean, this was an incredibly high flood, nothing that's ever been seen before. And the track does get water over it in most floods, certainly not to the extent that it had yesterday. And it was not ideal, but it goes down as quickly as it comes up. So I mean, the track will probably be visible again by this afternoon, and the track staff will obviously have to get on the job and get the track right. And had a few offers to sort of go down to Ballina and get the horse to work if the track's not quite right by Monday. So there's a few options there for us, and a lot of people sort of put their hand up to help us out where they can. Steve really called me this morning and said, if we need any boxes, we can move a few horses down there. So it's still going to be fine. It's it's a nuisance and it's difficult and awkward. And, staff have to come together and do the right thing and chip in, and we'll get back to where we were again as soon as we can.
Understand. And, you know, it was so sad last night watching the news. Condolences go out. We've had a person die in the floods there, I think at Lismore, around that region yesterday. So our thoughts are with everybody up there. We are heard in that part of our radio relay, and we do wish everybody the very best, and let's hope it, you know, we don't have any more rain, that we can just get a clear period and get through. In a horse point of view, Matt, you brought your horse down very much earlier in the week.
Yeah, he came down on Sunday. I normally cover horses on the Wednesday to Saturday, but we sort of had a bit of an inkling that he might have been coming, and wanted to ensure that he was in Sydney without having to. The biggest problem is the highway still closed, so if we hadn't got him down, we may have been stranded up here. But no, he's been down. He travelled down Sunday and galloped Wednesday, and his work was strong and he's bright and well. And I had a look at him when I was down there for about an hour and a half. On Friday, and he looked great, and he's in good shape.
Last run, February 13. Considering the conditions, how hard has it been able to keep the work up to him?
He's done the work. He's had a jump out over 1,000 and a trial over 1,000 as well. So he's done plenty of work. I made the decision not to run him again straight after he won his heat. It's at not the end of a long preparation, but at the pointy end of a preparation that stretched for quite a few months, and he's had a few runs, and he certainly doesn't need racing. Just needed to keep him fit and well, and that's what we've done. The track worries me. I've never had him on it, and that's by design. I do have concerns that he may not be much good on it, but that's something I suppose we'll have to find out today.
He's got enough gate speed there to be, you know, in the first six or five or six horses.
Oh yeah, he's from that gate, he puts himself where he needs to be. He can, you know, I mean, if we wanted to really press him, we could probably lead them if we felt that way. But I don't think he needs to be doing that, particularly on this track. So I think we can work that out. He's a pretty good jockey, and I'm sure he'll figure things out pretty quickly with him.
That's the other thing, Matt. Just finally, from a jockey point of view. Jim Byrne had done all the work in preparation to take the ride, and then last Sunday, I know you got a call, and then again Monday morning, that Jim had decided to stay and ride in Brisbane today. We'd need to have a look at his rides to see whether we can pinpoint if there's a good thing up there for him, but you've lost nothing in getting Hugh Bowman.
Oh, absolutely, and when he became available, I mean, I am a little surprised that he jumped off. I don't quite understand that decision at all, but you could think of a better guy to replace him, and when his manager bring me said that he was available, or in fact came as a surprise also, so we're happy to grab him, and I'm sure he'll ride him very well.
Good luck, Matt. Hope the horse copes with the track. I think we're hearing it from quite a few trainers. We're unknown with a lot of horses, but at least we've got sunny weather today, that the track isn't going to get any worse. If anything, it'll get a little bit better. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Matt Dunn there joining us. And Mike, you know, the amount of rain that fell up in that region, watching the vision in the last couple of days has been quite extraordinary.
Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. Just really interesting to listen to Matt talk there about Perfect Air's ability to get through the ground today. I think that's the big burning question. I mean, if it had been a dry track, he would have been a short price favourite and probably would have won with a leg in the air. But just the great uncertainty he's had. And I think he's had five runs on deadish tracks and yet to salute the judge, and he's only managed one minor placing, and that track was the better side of dead. I think they were in 110 and change for 1200, so a big watch on him, his ability to get through the ground today, Ron.
There probably is, you know, I'd look for angles, and you know, I don't think there's any real evidence that he won't handle a heavy track because he's never been anything like it. I remember him in the Brisbane Winter Carnival last year. That was a real testing track, that Eagle Farm. Remember the first opening, and it was Stradbroke Day or something?
Yeah.
He did run fifth in the Guineas that day, and that was real testing, that track. But
yeah,
different track. Obviously, this, he's never been anything like this before.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, if he turns up... James Cummings is about to join us, but Mike,
yep,
I've just received the most important text of the morning.
Yes.
How many bacon and egg rolls are wanted? Question mark.
I'll have one.
You'll have one, Muncie.
I'll have
two. So that's
two for
three.
Me.
Two for Mike. No, we need five, Navesh, if you're listening. Good morning to you. He's out there. He's on the go.
Cheers, beautiful to be back in the eastern suburbs, isn't it?
Oh, hang on. It only took you 19 minutes to do that.
Over in the west, we get the coffee with the no-fat milk in
it.
Did you get
your
form
guide
water
this morning?
You get the sausage roll and a cellophane thing that you got to put in the microwave. Oh, that's beautiful to be back home.
He's an eastern suburbs lad. James Cummings. Morning to you, James.
Morning, Andrew. Good morning, guys. How are you?
I'm well. You're sitting in this part of the world. You can't be as solid as Ron there, can you?
You guys maybe should get rewarded with bacon and egg rolls for every winner you tip. Michael Fraser would be well ahead of the pack, wouldn't he?
No, I'd be saying there'd be days where we're absolutely starving.
Duff would do all right too, I think. They're all pretty clearing out, aren't they?
You know this track pretty good, mate, and we had a really good winds and everything yesterday. We're in a heavy eight zone at this stage.
Yeah, and they've had a heavy dew, which is not unusual this time of year. So the track's really wet. The leaf is wet, but, you know, walk it by midday and it'll be dry, particularly with the wind they're expecting and clear weather. So it's, you know, it's a good enough drying day, but unsurprising, the horses have still got to be able to handle it today, I'd say.
And you're happy to run all your four runners?
Yeah, they'll race. And you know, I've taken three last start winners into group races, and my colt in the Derby run second in a group two is last Saturday. So they're all coming into the races fit, in form, and ready to run very well.
Well, let's start from the top. Smart Amelia. She had her confidence boosted with that Canberra maiden win. I wouldn't have thought she was the worst 50-1 chance here.
Yeah, she's not the worst. She needed that to ensure that she wouldn't die a maiden, because she was sort of starting to be one of our better horses in training that hadn't saluted yet. But rewind 12 months ago, she was running second in a Widden on debut, and beating horses like Fox Play there. She just hasn't quite developed yet, and we've physically she hasn't developed, so we've spaced her runs accordingly, and she could appreciate that getting to Randwick. She could run well here, but it's a race with plenty of depth and perhaps even a stronger PJ Bell than most years.
Mm. Prized Icon, your Derby runner. He's already a Derby winner, we know that. He was back in business last time. I suppose you're just hoping for that drying out throughout the day.
Yeah, I'm hoping that he canters to the gates for Glenn and just has a little bit more confidence about the way he can get a bit more footing on this ground. It was hopeless two back in the very heavy conditions at Rose Hill. Would have been worse than a 10 if the ratings allowed it to be. And raining in between races and during some races, so we all know that's what really creates the wettest tracks our jockeys have to ride on. I'd say now Glenn has heaps of confidence in the horse to get through what he's going to be faced with today, because I backed him up on the heavy nine, and you know, it seems extraordinary that the horse could you know, turn his form around by a furlong just in one rating point from a 10 to a 9. But I suspect not only was one track from one week to the next so far better, you know, so much better in the quality that they raced on, and the lack of rain in between races. But you know, Ronnie the horse was getting fitter all the time too. He thrives on racing. He loves light exercise, and he loves to race. So now he's coming into the Derby with plenty of recent racing. He's had a busy few weeks, but he's very well within himself, and I think he's showing the benefits.
And you're happy to back him up 3 weeks running, obviously.
Oh, Ronnie, we've been walking the plates off him all week, and he's just been pulling through the bridle, and he's happy to be wherever we want him to be. So I think he's going to run well. VRC Derby winners normally can't help but run well in an AJC Derby. You know, I even think back a few years ago, a horse like Monaco Consul was hopelessly out of form, but the moment he got back to the Derby distance like he did in the spring, he just jumped out of the ground and ran third in a pretty good Derby, I think, behind Shootout and Descarado. So, look, I'm very happy to run him, and I think the horse is only just coming into his peak now.
The last race, the Adrian Knox, you know, a lot of these fillies have got a long way to go, and they're running more or less just out of maiden classes, but you got two progressive sorts here. This Mullover, the timing looks right for her, and she just keeps improving from one run to the next.
Yeah, I was impressed with Mullover. I thought she put them away quite stylishly at Newcastle. we expected that from her. We really expected vast improvement from her scone run, and now that she's on the way up, she's exactly where I want her to be, having sat down 12 weeks ago and targeted this Adrian Knox with her. She's got some quality about her. Don't forget, she comes out of that really good midweek Randwick form race. I think this had four or five winners come out of it, good horses, group performers like we saw yesterday. The horse in the Gosford Guineas that just ran a narrow second. So, you know, she's going the right way, and this is a race to have a filly like her, and much the same for a stablemate. It's the right race to have them on the way up and fit and in form. I think also take notice of a horse like Bazaar, who's really good to the line at the transferred meeting at Goulburn the other day, and hopefully these horses can keep improving for us.
And the other one, High Impulse, well, she's had that month between runs, but she savaged the line there at Hawkesbury.
Yeah, she quickened up and just bolted in, really put paid to them well. She really responded beautifully once I applied the blinkers, which is a key for her, being able to keep improving and get to the group level that she'll need to. This is the sort of race we really wanted to target with these sorts of fillies. And if they run very well here, then, you know, the owners can consider whether or not they're worthy of backing up next week. But the important thing is now that they've got a sniff of black type about them, and it's really valuable for both farms who have chances here. And there was nothing between them in their work. It's got to be a toss of the coin, which of those that we think is the better chance. And perhaps I'm sure a lot of it will come down to the way the track is playing. And certainly we're happy with the pair of them, and hopefully they've just got that little bit of Dariana about them, that, you know, a really progressive horse this time of year, late maturing horse that can really start hitting their straps and doing well in these set weights group races.
And can we just put it down to, well, did Glyn have his choice of the two fillies?
Well, he did, but he was also of the same opinion that it was a real toss at the coin. And He liked that Mullover was just nicely 2 weeks into the race, but nevertheless, I did my best, to offset that High Impulse has had 4 weeks between runs with a little trial there against the older horses at Warwick Farm, and she had to burn around on a track that she's not very familiar with, but I thought she did an adequate enough job, and she'll enjoy the heavy track too. So he did have his choice, and he does quite like Mullover, and certainly. Mullover was full of running in a gallop when they paired up together over a little bit of ground on Tuesday morning.
Beautiful.
Righto, sounds good. Just from a future point of view, tactical advantage are we going to see here this time next week?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Andrew, I didn't text you back when you asked me yesterday.
No, that's fine, mate.
Gets upset when you don't do that.
He trialled yesterday morning for Hugh. He was full of running I think if the breastplate had have broken, he would have ended up on Allison Road after that 7:40 minute barrier trial yesterday. he'll go to the Arrow Field next Saturday, and it's a really good race. Plenty of gun 3-year-olds are either, first up there or in great form. But Hugh won that race last year with Japanese Me, I think. And it'd be terrific if Tactical Advantage, who's got a real winning attitude about him at the moment, could turn up there and be faced with a far, far better track than what he had to be faced with, when the rain was teaming down at Rose Hill on Slipper Day.
Yeah, understand. All right, good luck today, mate. We'll see you here. I reckon you'd be a Ronan Keating fan. I reckon you'll be hanging around after the last.
You've got me there. I don't know too much. I think I'll be getting out of there, to be honest.
Oh, please. You and Monica will be down there in the Theatre of the Horse dancing away to Ronan Keating. Hey,
mate,
come on.
We've got two little kids under two, mate. We'll be getting them home and trying to get them safe. I don't know about any Ronan Keating.
You're proud on. Good on.
Nah,
you'll be right. Good luck. We'll see you out here, mate.
Okay, cheers. Thanks, Andrew.
James Cummings joining us there with... it's interesting, these two, Mike, in the last, isn't it? Reading... High Impulse didn't have the blinkers on Tuesday, but they galloped together, and there's not too much between them, listening to that.
Yeah, look, they're both fancy fillies. They've both got nice actions. They've sort of let down beautifully, and they haven't beat much, but it's just the style with which they've done it, Ronnie. They've really, really have put them to the sword over the latter stages of both of those wins, and I really did like High Impulse's trial at Warwick Farm against the older horses. So, yeah, look, it's a split match between them. and they both should run really well.
Yeah, it's a strange race, this, you know, these three-year-old fillies, they're just going, just learning.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just out of their maiden class, the whole field.
Yeah. I'm just going to say they're just out of kindergarten, aren't they?
Yeah, and this race has been open for an upset before, don't worry about that.
Polarisation's officially out now, so we're sitting on 9 and we're about to go just past 7:30. So they'll become interim in a moment, but polarisation is out. We're going to take a little break here on Racing HQ Saturday. Still to come, the likes of Robert Smurden, Gerald Ryan and Peter Galagotis about Malaguera. Repeating, it's day one of the championships out here. It's a heavy 8, penetrometer 6.07. And don't forget that Winx is an added incentive to be here today. The champion mare will have an exhibition gallop between races 1 and 2 over 1,000 metres. So plenty of good reasons to be at Royal Randwick today.
Find your rising star at the 2017 Capricornia Yearling Sale in Rockhampton. 95 quality yearlings, all eligible for the $200,000 Capricornia Race Series. 16 are Bobs eligible and 82 Cutis eligible, including the $250,000 Cutis Jewel. Aquas Farm Lots carry a $100,000 winner's bonus for the 2018 two-year-old sale race. Visit cqtba.com. Phone bids accepted.
Ronan returns to Royal Randwick for the championship. Witness an electrifying set by international megastar Ronan Keating as he returns to Royal Randwick to close out day one of the championship, the grand finals of Australian racing.
I love it when we do, when we do.
Don't miss this live performance in the Theatre of the Horse after the last race today at Royal Randwick. Included in your race day ticket. Get yours today at theatc.com.au.
Dynamic Syndications with Gay and Adrian offer a cult bred speed on speed. Buy I Am Invincible. Champion young sire injecting early speed into his progeny and setting record prices in the sale ring. From Moulin Rouge, a two-year-old winner of 8 races and twice stakes placed.
The I Am Invincible Moulin Rouge. The sire is taking all before him to be part of this sensational cult.
Nobody trains two-year-olds better than Gay. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3368-08.
AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off products including wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapware, with a new black chrome finish out soon. Plus they have vanities, toilet suites, basins and freestanding and drop-in bars and so much more. 2-year warranty over 50 service locations with free delivery to most areas. AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off. An Aussie company since 2007. That's AstiVita.com.au.
Australia's best clash at the championship.
Yes, they certainly do. This is Racing HQ Saturday. We're broadcasting live from Randwick. Ron Duffesy's beside us. We've got Mike Fraser as well. Glenn Munsey's out the back. He'll be joining us in half an hour with all the markets for day one of the championships. And we're looking forward to a monster day. I'll just check whether these scratchings, yes, they have. They've gone interim. So 9 interim scratchings. The first 2 races are clear. Race 3. Disappointing. Polarisation's got some issues with a hock this morning with some heat and swelling, so they've been forced to scratch. That's race 3, number 6, Polarisation. Race 4 is clear. Race 5, the PJ Bell. 1 Scarlet Rain. 2 French Fern. 4 Miss Rock. 5 Bruegel Reward. 19 Rosa Carolina. And 21 Blowing Kisses. 1, 2, 4, 5, 19 and 21. Race 6, number 6, Gunnison is out. Race 6, number 6. And then races 7 and 8 are clear. Race 9, number 4, Tosin Stardom, number 4. And race 10 is clear. And repeating that Nick's Vendetta in the country championship final, race 4, number 10, is Craig Williams. C. Williams, race 4. Number 10. Guys, just before our next interview, this country championship final, Ron, has really come together, you know, with horses that seem to be very much in form, but have a bit of on the up sort of coming out of their respective races as well.
Yeah, it's really taken shape, hasn't it? You know, it takes a while when you get a few heats together and you try and line them up, and Perfect Air set the standard, you know, qualifying early there at Grafton, he breaking a course record.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, he's the horse. But he's got a lot of things against him with a big gap between runs. He's had a few grand finals at the Gold Coast Magic Millions Day and obviously qualifying, and Matt's kept that obviously in the back of his mind, probably trying to get him right without having to flatten another run into him. But the uncertainty of the wet track is really giving the others a taste of, you know, beating him.
Yeah, yeah. Mike, if we had a similar form to Grafton, then I think most people would say Perfect Dare is clearly the class horse, but it comes down to track, and you never know. I mean, the horse from Albury, Lotario, loves the
strong horse.
Yeah, strong former Kiwi horse, Mike. So there are horses in this race today that will like the rain affected.
Oh, 100%, 100%. I think you know, if you took Perfect Dare out of the race and he was a non-runner, it'd be a very, very, very wide market. Look, you've got to give these country trainers, you know, a big pat on the back. I mean, firstly, they've got to get the horses fit enough to win a qualifier, so that they've got to have, you know, their fitness levels up, and then they've got to be able to, you know, carry on and then get them to peak again for the final. So it's, you know, it's no easy task, and they all do a terrific job, and they present beautifully on race day. So, yeah, really looking forward to this race.
Well, we're moving from Rosehill last week, 3 weeks now here at Randwick for the next three, and Gerald Ryan's coming over here with a decent lineup today. Morning to you, Gerald.
Yeah, morning, Andrew.
You got some decent chances, the two-year-olds in particular today, mate.
Yeah, they're all right. You don't know what here at home after the slip of the three colts come out of it really good, but you don't know until you're racing what it's really done. But knowing the feed bin and on the track and what they've done, well, you can't fault them, really.
Well, Chauffeur was the horse you've always talked about, this being his race, Gerald. He wasn't hopeless in the slipper, wandering out wide there.
He wasn't. No, he looked as if he was really going to let down at the top of the straight, and he went for about 50 yards and his wheels start spinning, but he's probably the horse out of three of them that had more improvement in him, because he went from the Magic Means to Canberra without having a barrier trial and that. And I think appreciate, and I was happy the other day, Wednesday, until the rain come on Thursday, but no, he seemed bright and well, he's doing good, he's feeling good, and no, 1400 here where there looks to be a bit of pressure up the front, I think, no, the track keeps improving, you'll run a race.
Minari, how's he recovered from his brave slipper run?
He's as tough as they come, Ronnie, you know, he hasn't missed a beat, he's great in the feed bin, his work Tuesday morning was very sharp, he's bright and well in himself, he's going to put himself just up behind the speed, he'll be strong, he does. You look at his pedigree and you might have a question mark against him running 1400, but the way the horse is, I certainly think he will run 1400.
Tactically today with him?
Well, we'll just say the track's plain. I think, you know, there's good speed in the race. He's going to be probably in the first half dozen. We'll just see played by ear. You know, if something happens, they don't go as quick as they will, because if they will, like sometimes happens, well, he's going to be a lot closer.
You'll be hoping for a drying track throughout the day for Trapeze Artist?
Yeah, he's drawn to get probably the best run in the race out of my three. He's going to be right on top of the speed. He's strong. Certainly hasn't gone backwards. Held his form well. Looks very good. No, question mark at 1400, as all of them have. But, you know, he's probably the biggest question mark at 1400 out of my three, I think, you know.
Yeah, your Derby runner is Harper's Choice. He's not the worst chance.
Not the worst chance. I thought his run here was his two runs back off the freshen up and had been credible. His run here, he stuck to his guns really good the other day, and he was out on the worst part of the track. Well, and he went along on a fair click from the 700-metre mark. I thought he was good. I'm not a big rat on the horse leading, but he's going to be in the first three today. He's going to put himself in the first three, and he's trained on good. He's fit. He's well. He gets through some wet conditions, probably better on top of the ground, but he's not hopeless in it. Certainly done well. Looks well. You know, he's bright and well. He's been in a long, long time coming through the summer, but he had a couple of weeks down at Limitless Lodge on the Water Walker, and he come back well, and he's probably gone on from his two runs back. But no, I can't see him beating the New Zealanders, but well, Hawks' horse, but you never know what might happen. He'll still run well.
Race one, Conda Heroes. He's got his win out of the road now. Can he go on?
I think so. I don't know, it's only 10 days since he raced, but you know, he went into that race, haven't had a trial for 6 weeks. Wet ground. You probably couldn't get the amount of work in doing that you would have liked. Certainly in the coat, he's come on. Haven't done heaps with him since, because as I say, it's only 10 days of a heavy trek. But he certainly Ken's good. He puts himself there. He'd be tough to run down, and he has shown he can get through the ground too.
Now your other horse there is Dissolution, his first starter, has showed nice ability in his trials.
He's a nice horse. He's an expensive horse. He's a nice horse. He should have been at the race about 3 weeks ago, with race meetings getting called off and heavy tracks and. Well, that he's just got to the stage, you know, he was never going to run in this race because he's probably more a 1,400-metre horse. But, no, he's just got to the stage. You've got to kick him off somewhere and, you know, for the journey, nice big track, not a huge field. Got not a lot of gate speed. He'll get back, hoping the blinkers sharpen him a little bit so he won't be too far back. But he'll find the line good. He'll be, if they overdo it up front, he'll be storming home. But, you know, it's just a big ass running first up in a race like this. But, as I say, he's got to kick off somewhere, you know.
And your other runners in race five, the PJ Bill, the Samantha. Look, this is more her style of race. The sprint home was the other day was probably against a filly like her.
Yeah, I agree there. And you know, she's wide, over racing a little bit. She's honest, tries hard, cops her work and cops her feed really good. Not what work you do with her, you don't do a lot with her. But she's very well and bright in herself. And, you know, she's got no worries on wet tracks. Just like to see a bit of speed in the race, you know.
Yeah, Raymond again has, you know, come out with good positive pushes from the Godolphin stable. So if the horse runs up to that real heavy track run, got to be around the mark here somewhere, Gerald.
Oh, yeah, she'll be around the mark, you know. I would like to meet Raymond a bit better than 1 kilo. But, we have, had 4 runs back and Nick was first up, so you would say she's in. Proved off it, but if she hits a flat spot being second up with a heavy 10, well, you know, Samantha will find it because she doesn't know when to lie down.
Yeah, I understand. All right, mate, 7 runners on day one of the championships. Hope they all run well for you.
Okay, they're going, they're fitting well, and if they're good enough to get the right run, they'll run good.
No, good luck. All right, mate, we'll see you here later.
Thank you.
Gerald Ryan there from Trackwork at Rose Hill. Guys, there's so much good racing that we'll preview after 8 o'clock this morning, but can the Kiwis be beaten in the Derby today, Ron?
They can be beaten. Now, on form, they look strong, don't they? But, you know, there's a pattern there and over the years to say that their first run in Australia is their best.
Mm.
And then they can just taper off a little bit because they've already hit their grand final in their own Derby.
Yeah.
And they come here still fit and they hit our horses on a mile and a half run. And especially when they hit on a wet track off a mile and a half lead up, they can really make us look pretty ordinary.
Mm.
Today is a different story. You know, look, it's pretty hard to knock Ginger Nuts because he's put it he's gone for 5 wins in a row. So, you know, they're all individuals and he's probably a deserved favourite. But is he unbeatable? I don't think so.
What do you think, Mike?
Pretty much Ronnie summed that up perfectly. I think they came here, they ambushed our horses when they weren't, their fitness levels weren't quite up to the same as the New Zealanders. They've both had grand finals. Ginger Nuts absolutely toweled them the other day, but has he got one more win in him, you know? I mean, it's having his 7th run back today, so it's that's the great uncertainty of racing, whether they've got one more in them. I suspect myself that they probably won't, but I'm there to be beaten. I mean, if they both stood up, they'd probably quinella the race, but having said that, I think the Australian horses are much better prepared for today's assignment.
Righto, interesting thoughts there, and we'll get all the tips coming through in our preview hour starting in about 15 minutes or so. Another of the great races today is the TJ Smith with the quality of sprinters that we've got lining up. Chautauqua trying to win it for a third straight year. Trying to upset that is Peter Galagotas with Malaguera. Morning to you, Pete.
Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Good, mate. I text Ron's here and Mike Fraser. Pete, I text Peter on Tuesday mid-morning and said, how was the work this morning? Simple Simple reply. Outstanding. And then I text him the next morning. I said, how's the horse? And the barrier. Awesome. You were pretty simple, Pete. You sound like you're really happy with the way he's freshened up.
Oh, absolutely. Form doesn't lie. You know, you look at a horse's CV, not just Malagurus, any horse, and there's always a pattern, and his pattern is fresh. Runs obviously spaced. He's one of our premier sprinters in this country, I believe. I'm not saying that because he's in my care. It's just proven over time. And I base that on the strength of when he has been given the opportunity to be fresh and has had his races spaced. He's phenomenal, the horse, and he only has to go back to his first run back in this time in the Australia Stakes, and that was nothing short of sensational. I thought the horse was devastating. It was an amazing effort. He equaled Miss Andretti's track record, and if he's anywhere around that mark, he's going to be in it for a long, long way today.
Pete, he's a proven, well, he enjoys a trip away. He's a proven traveller. Obviously, he's in town. Everything okay?
Absolutely. You know what I really loved in the last fortnight? He had a trial a fortnight ago, and he was a bit funny in the trial. Like, he was, I probably had him a little bit over the top fresh, and he was a bit prickly in the gates, and he didn't jump clean, but he worked through the line nice. And then since that time, he's done all his work going Sydney way, just to get him on his right leg and everything. Not that he needed to, I suppose, but just to make sure that we're on the job. And he's actually my rider keeps saying he loves going this way. You know, so it's interesting how you know you can get a sort of a better scenario. So you know, I'm really confident of the fact that he has performed this way in the past and that his action and the way he's feeling is really good going the opposite way. So, you know, it'd be great to have an honest run, you know.
What's the best way to ride this horse?
Look, I think he's bulletproof from today's barrier and the way the race pans out. He's just going to get an absolute dream run, I think. It doesn't matter. He relaxes well. You know, he's led in one, he's box seated in one, and he's come from behind and won. So, but I just think the way the race maps out, there's not a lot of speed in the race, and I think he'll position up in the first half a dozen horses and be travelling well within himself for a long way in the run. It's just a matter of having some luck when you need it.
It's a fair way off, but the talk of the town around here at the moment is the Everest. Would you be interested in, if he races well today, sort of an Everest approach? What's your approach to the Everest?
Well, you know, look, it's an interesting concept, and I was probably a bit sceptical of how it was going to work, but all the slots are taken, that's awesome for racing here in this state. I think it's an amazing concept, and I think this race today is going to determine a few things. We've had a little bit of discussion with Bruno, the owner, as to our thoughts. Probably at this stage, we'll just keep them in check and get over today. Because one of his wishes is to win back-to-back Darlies. It's a race that gave him a lot of pleasure and a great thrill on that particular day in the Flemington Carnival, and he'd like to sort of be there and participate there again. And I think with the way that Malagwira races, I don't think we can do both. I think after today, that'll determine which way we go with that idea as well. But it's a bit 50-50 at the moment.
Well, we look forward to seeing him today. You've spoke really highly the way he has freshened up, mate. Good luck. We'll see you out here later in the day.
Thanks, gentlemen. Enjoy.
Good on you. Peter Galagotis with Malagwira there. So really looking forward to the TJ Smith. There's just... can he do it a third straight year, Chautauqua? Do you think he's going...
Yeah, look, I just wish he had 3 weeks between that 1,500 metre run to his 1,200 metre run, but the wet track may offset that, might slow him down a bit.
Yeah.
they'll make a bigger cheer. He'll get a bigger cheer than Winks if he does it today, yeah, three times in a row. And I am concerned about, I don't know, usually 1,200 metre TJ Smith, they fly.
Yeah.
But there's no designated leader here.
Yeah.
You know, and probably a couple ago, well, we'll talk to Michael about that, yeah, later when we get to that race.
Well, it's interesting already, Matt Dale's come out and said we're going to ride Fell Swoop forward.
Okay, well, I've missed that.
Yeah,
okay,
it was late yesterday.
He can get aggressive when you give him a dig up, so who knows, and I'm sure Russian Revolution will go forward, and I'm sure maybe Mulligira will go forward to a certain extent as well, but this look, Rebel Dane, I don't know whether he's going to kick up and do work from that
outside. Well, Gary's always sort of preferred the ridden back,
probably
hasn't he?
Probably has been ridden back.
Great race, Mike, isn't it?
Oh, incredible, incredible. And I think the map's probably the key for Chautauqua, especially coming back from 1,500, because Russian Revolution, one of the principal players in this race, he looks likely to get a reasonably soft, well, say soft, a softish time compared to previous TJ Smiths up front there. And Chautauqua's probably going to be giving them quite a big start. You know, surely the freshness is out of his legs a bit, Ronnie.
Yeah, well, you would... You'd think so, looking at the form and the way he sets up, but never underestimate a champion.
No, never underestimating, but it's just a few little hurdles for him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just a couple of things before we do the scratchings. We've got 10 races to look at here, so we'll give ourselves plenty of time to preview that. The Inglis Chairman Sale Thursday night. Gunnison sold to Hong Kong. Chance to Dance sold to Tiako Stud. It's still going to run in the Sydney Cup. Seemed to go really well now. All attention on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday at Inglis's at Newmarket here, the last of the Easter sales.
Yeah, it's going to be a big time. It's obviously Easter sales is always exciting.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's going to be some fireworks going on over the next week or so.
It will be. Starting Tuesday, you'll be able to listen to it on Racing HQ and Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio on those 3 days, Slats and TK, and then yours truly will have it all covered, and then through the day on Sky Thoroughbred Central and Sky Racing 2. Now, we are going early. I'm just looking around here, Ron.
Anything arrive?
There's no arrival. We are running a bit early, but Nivesh,
rustle them up a bit.
And if you can just do another thing for us, if you can just shift the car for me.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it just needs to be moved down there. If you can do that for us in the time you've got.
I'll see if you've got any staff out here, all right?
Yeah, staff all shifted for me. Thank you, Ron. Okay. Righto, come back with Ron Duppersey and Mike Fraser shortly. We're also going to talk with Mark Van Gestel. You can wander out, Ron, and I'll keep going because here come all the scratchings for today's TAB program. Shift that car, please. Shift that car. We've got a beautiful day. Looking out here from our vantage point, I can't see any cloud. I think there is a little bit out there, but from where we are, it's fine and sunny. Heavy 8, penetrometer 6.07, and the rail is true. Races 1 and 2 are clear. Race 3, takeout 6, polarisation, number 6. Race 4, the Country Championship Final, sponsored by New Haven. You can take out the emergencies. 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 and 23. All the emergencies out of the Country Championship Final. Race 5, take out 1 Scarlet Rain, 2 French Fern, 4 Miss Rock, 5 Brugal Reward, 19 Rosa Carolina and 21 Blowing Kisses. 1, 2, 4, 5, 19 and 21 out of race 5. Race 6, number 6, Gunnison, is joined by the bottom 3 emergencies. 18, Memento, 19, Merchant Navy and 20, Spencer. 6, 18, 19 and 20 out of the 6th. Races 7 and 8 are clear. Race 9, number 4, Tosin Stardom, and the bottom 2, 22, No Doubt and 23, Top of My List. And race 10, take out the emergency, 17, Nachwali, number 17. One jockey change, that's race 4, number 10, Nick's Vendetta, is Craig Williams. C. Williams on Nick's Vendetta in the Country Championship Final. So that gives you the up-to-date information for day one here of the championships. We move to Kembla Grange. The track has improved to a heavy 8 this morning, the rail at 3 metres. Race 1 is clear. Race 2, number 1, All Too Sweet. 2, Arbitrate. 3, Bold Dapper. 4, Dragon 8. 6, Mr. Kylan. 7, My Zabrika. 11, Mandalong Abgini. And 15, Discussions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 11 and 15 out of the second. The third, number 2, Oriental Runner. 9, Chelsea Diamond. 11, Lifeline Princess. And 13, Satin Silks. 2, 9, 11, and 13. The fourth, number 2, Shavo. 4, So Spirited. 5, Hacho. 8, Spring Creek Star. 14, Creditable Witness. And 17, The Emergency. 2, 4, 5, 8, 14, and 17. Kembla Race 5. 8, Lady Selkie and 9, Sagan Star. 8 and 9. Race 6, number 1, Orb in Rhythm and 9, Sarim. 1 and 9. Race 7, Clear. And Race 8, number 3, Eugene. And 9, La Jessianne. 3 and 9. Kembla Grange, that tracker heavy 8, and has improved overnight. Taree, they certainly race there today on the mid-north coast. Taree is a heavy 10, but certainly safe. The rail is in the true. Race 1 at Taree, take out 1, 2, 11 and 12. Race 2, the scratchings are 9, 13, 15 and 16. The third, 1, 4, 10 and 15. The fourth, the scratchings are 2, 6, 13 and 16. Race 5, 5, 9, 12, 13, 14, and then the emergencies, 15, 16 and 18 are all out of race 5. Race 6 at Taree, the scratchings are 2, 5, 9 and 11. Race 7, 2, 4, 9, 12, 13 and 15. Race 8, the scratchings are 7, 8, 10 and 13. And race 9, 1, 4, 8, 10 a late one, 13, 15 and 17. So the late scratching is race 9, number 10 at Taree. Heavy 10, but the meeting definitely on with the rail in the true. Now we go to Bendigo. Bendigo in Victoria, it's the feature meeting down there. Track is a good 4, penetrometer 5.04. Race 1, take out 1 Iconic and 6 Boomwah, 1 and 6. Race 2, number 9 Pontaroma, 11 She's Beneficial and 12 Diva Tonte, 9, 11 and 12. The third at Bendigo, take out 5 Al Phoenix, 8 Limestone, 10 Cameron Dazzler and 12 Tantat Flame, 5, 8, 10 and 12. The fourth is Clear, race 5, number 9 Sharuva and 15 BJZ, 9 and 15. Race 6 Clear, race 7, number 5 Master Reset, 6 Nevis and 17 Battle Camp, 5, 6 and 17. Race 8, number 1 The Answer My Friend, who's running here of course, race 8, number 1. And race 9, number 10, Sharmile Road. Race 9, number 10. That's the information for Bendigo. Doomben, they're definitely on in Brisbane. That track has got to a heavy 8 this morning. Penetrometer 6.47. These are still probably half an hour away from becoming interim. Race 1, number 5, Tiesia, number 4. That's race 1, number 4. Race 2, number 2, Mr. LeBrock, number 2. The third, number 1, Bronzed Venom, 4 Medieval and 7, 8 Below, 1, 4 and 7. The fourth, number 1, Sir Moments, 3 Guest of Honour, 5 Raffinato and 10 Calendula, 1, 3, 9 and 10. Race 5, number 5, Divine Centura, 7 Fiery Heights, 10 My Little Flicker and 13 Quadtronic, 5, 7, 10 and 13. Race 6 at Doomben, take out at the moment 6 Anymore, 9 Rising Luck, 10 Medieval, 14 Rockbolt and 17 Kobe Creek, 6, 9, 10, 14 and 17. Race 7, 1 Emphius, 3 Can't Buy Better, 6 Open Book, 8 Good Job Bro and 10 Always Sacred, 1, 3, 6, 8 and 10. And Race 8, take out 12, 1 Golden Day and 16 Beyond Brave, 12 and 16. They're the current scratchings for Doomben. And in Adelaide today, we race on the Morfordville Parks track. The track rating is a good 4, the penetrometer 5.49. Race 1 is Clear. Race 2, number 8, Willander Mist, number 8. The third, number 2, Patriot Act, 7 Hay St. Peter and 12 Tunisia Traveller, 2-7 and 12. The 4th, 11 the G Train, number 11. Race 5, number 4 Wise Moolah, 10 Surprise Journey and 11 Sudden Moment, 4, 10 and 11. Race 6, number 9 Petrov, number 9. Race 7, Morfordville Parks, the scratching is 8, Sherpa Trail, number 8. And race 8, number 11, Shamar Road, race 8, number 11. They haven't quite gone in for them, but they're only minutes from. Track for Morfordville Parks, as you've learnt there, is a good 4. They're all our current scratchings for today.